We have 5 weeks left in 2018, and we need $103,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2018. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's time for our weekly feature, This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we're going to be talking about the New Apostolic Reformation. That's been a subject many times with Pastor Chris Roseborough. But something that is called their canonic Christology, it has to do with their teaching about the two natures in Christ. And, well, Chris is saying this isn't just a little off the beam or maybe slightly misunderstood. This falls into the category of genuine old-fashioned heresy. We're going to talk about that with Pastor Chris Roseborough on this Wednesday afternoon. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So they say that you can only recognize the counterfeit by knowing backward, forward, and upside down the genuine article. In this case, we're going to be identifying not just a counterfeit, but basically monopoly money version of a counterfeit. But we do have to know the genuine article first. So in the simplest possible terms, what has the church always confessed about the two natures in Christ, divine and human?
So, Scripture is very clear on this, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, that according to Romans 1, according to the flesh, he is a descendant of King David, and that he is also, that he also has a divine nature, and that he is the Son of God. And this is where the Athanasian Creed is really helpful. Now, I understand in our congregations, we generally do not pull the Athanasian Creed out except for once a year on Trinity Sunday. But if you're familiar with the Athanasian Creed, the back half of that creed lays out what the church historically has believed regarding the incarnation, that Jesus is both God and man, and that there are not two Christs, but one. Now, let me give an analogy here that we'll have to clean up just a little bit because some people will misunderstand this. Todd, I'm aware that you have a soul and that you have a body, and I don't usually refer to you as they. I refer to you as you. And so the idea then is that just like a human being is composed of a body and a soul that come together to form one person, the Greek word that is used in these regards is a hypostasis. You are one person. There's not two of you, there's one. In the same way, in the one person, Jesus Christ, in the one hypostasis, Jesus Christ, there is both a divine nature as well as a human nature, and that human nature consists of a human body as well as a human soul. So it's not correct to think that Jesus' soul is the divine nature. That's a wrong way of putting it. But the Athanasian Creed lays this out very succinctly. And since we're in the Advent season and heading quickly towards Christmas, you recall the passages regarding the prophecies regarding Jesus' birth, that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Or as Paul says in Colossians 2, that in Christ the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And so within the one person, Jesus Christ, are both a human nature and a divine nature, which means that every single thing that Jesus did, from eating to walking to cutting his hair, all of those things he did as the one person who has both natures. In other words, it was impossible for Christ to do anything while he was on earth apart from his divine nature. His divine nature was part of the one person that he is.
So this is important for our future discussion of what are being taught by these New Apostolic Reformation teachers, it's not as though Jesus can kind of turn off his divinity at will. It's not, he can choose, and the Gospels are full of incidents wherein he seems to say, I'm not going to exercise certain prerogatives of my divinity. And then part of that is part of his state of humiliation. But we are not talking about a Jesus who can say, you know what, I'm just going to act solely as a human being now. The incarnation is a permanent arrangement.
Yep.
And it is one that sustains even to this day, will throughout all time. And Jesus always acts according to both natures.
That's correct. So Jesus is incapable of acting apart from his divine nature any more than you and I can act in this world apart from our flesh. It just can't be done. And so the idea is everything we do as body and soul in the same way. Everything Jesus does, he does with both his human and his divine nature. And his human nature then derives benefits as a result of being united with the divine nature in the one person. And so I think in our parlance, we talk about this as being the genus majestaticum, where the idea is that the benefits of being united with the deity flow from the divine nature to the human, but they don't flow the opposite direction due to the fact that God, his nature is actually immutable. But that's a little bit beyond our discussion today, but you get the idea that everything Jesus did. And now this is where we need to make one further distinction, and that is that having access to something and using it are two different things. So everything Jesus does, he does as the God-man, and he has full access to his divinity, but he does not always make use of it. And as we unpack what is actually being taught is the Christology of the New Apostolic Reformation, we'll begin to see that there is this very, very serious, and I mean deadly, false Christology that's being taught here, that in one way or another is denying aspects of the hypostatic union that would put the NAR and those who believe this Christology literally outside of the Christian faith by virtue of the fact that the Jesus that they are believing and invoking is not the Jesus revealed in Scripture.
They use a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 7, where Paul is laying out this great Christ hymn and talking about the incarnation and Christ's humiliation and his glorification. But the advocates of the New Apostolic Reformation and others in that ilk take this verse 7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in likeness of men. And they say something that Paul never intended to say. What is it?
That he emptied himself of his divinity or put it aside. And that's not what we understand as the state of humiliation. And when we talk about canonic Christology, it actually comes from this text from Philippians 2. Let me read it out, and when you see what is being referred to as what he emptied himself of and what it means to be found in the form of a servant, you'll realize they're playing very fast and loose with this in order to create a false impression that this text is teaching something that it doesn't. Philippians 2, verse 6, that says this about Christ. Have this mind which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form, you can say morphe in Greek, he was by nature God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Instead, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. So you're going to note, the text actually explains what it means that Jesus emptied himself. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So when we talk about Jesus' state of humiliation, we need to emphasize Philippians 2 is emphasizing, Jesus' servitude here on earth. He came to serve all of us. He took on the form of a servant. It does not say that he emptied himself of his deity. That is absolutely not what this text says. And the Greek word for he emptied himself is kanao, which is where we get kanotic from.
So who are we going to hear from first from the New Apostolic Reformation is describing this?
Let's go right to Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is like one of the foremost pinnacle leaders in the New Apostolic Reformation, and I think this pretty much sums it up tidily.
I'm so glad that Jesus did what he did on the pages of Scripture. But do you understand? He didn't heal anybody as God. He did no miracles as God. Everything he did as man in right relationship with God. That's what he told us. He said the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. The word nothing in the Greek means nothing. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. I can't do a thing. He had so emptied himself of divinity that he was self-imposed restriction. He's eternally God. Don't make any mistake. Eternally God. He's not a created being. He's not an ascended being. He's eternally God. But he set aside divinity and he modeled for us what life could be like for anyone who had no sin and who was completely empowered by the Spirit of God. Everything he did. Now, if he did it as God, I'm still impressed, but I'm not compelled to follow. I stand back at a distance and go, yay, God, come and do it again. But when I realize he did it as man, I cannot stay the way I am.
So what did he say there, Chris?
That he laid aside his divinity. He just said it straight up. And he said that Jesus performed none of his miracles by use of his divine nature. And sadly, there are biblical texts, and one in particular, that literally says the exact opposite of what Bill Johnson just said. So let's get that one out on the table, and we'll kind of consider the implications and why they're teaching this doctrine. But in John chapter 2, this is the account of Jesus changing the water to wine at the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. And so it says this of this miracle in John 2, verse 11. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So you just run the verbs there, and it says that Jesus is the one who performed the sign, and he did this in order to manifest his own glory. So there's an explicit case where, in fact, Jesus' very first miracle that he performed, he's the one who did it. And the only way he could have done it is by virtue of the fact that within the one person who is Jesus Christ, he has both a human and a divine nature.
Is Bill Johnson intending to imply, and we'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side of the break, is he intending to imply that if Jesus did these things apart from his divine nature, and since you and I don't possess a divine nature, we not only can, but, well, at some point in the day, must do them too?
Yeah, so here's the idea, is that by Jesus emptying himself of his divinity, as Bill Johnson is claiming, what that means is that Jesus becomes the ultimate example of a spirit-filled, charismatic NAR type. And so Jesus becomes like the charismatic Ubermensch, is the best way I could describe it. And so Jesus shows us what's possible. So then the idea is we've got to get busy so that we can perform the same types of signs and wonders and miracles that Jesus performed, because Jesus performed them the same way then you and I would perform them as human beings under the power and influence and filling of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the New Apostolic Reformation's canonic Christology and working our way toward making the case that it is, as Chris has said, a heresy. It's our feature this week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran confessions. We celebrate the divine service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
What are some of the most misunderstood and confused aspects of Christianity, and how can we respond? Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion, is the Issues Etc. book of the month for November. Clearly Christian is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Clearly Christian.
With religion in America continuing its historic decline over yet another year, many may wonder, how fares the LCMS? This November, the Lutheran Witness is once again shedding light on the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find the latest on global mercy work, missions, membership statistics, schools, and more in this special edition. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world through a Lutheran Christian perspective.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. St. John Lutheran, San Benito, Texas. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Redeemer Lutheran, Gresham, Oregon. Bethlehem Lutheran, Fairborn, Ohio. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, St. Labore, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Calvary Lutheran, Ray, Colorado. And Trinity Lutheran, Savannah, Georgia. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. We're talking about the New Apostolic Reformation's Canonic Christology. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. I'm Todd Bulkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Roseborough is host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. If you're a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you still have 2 weeks to take advantage of getting 0.25% off your auto loan rate, courtesy of the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Find out more at lutheranfcu.org. This special ends on December 14th. Good for you, good for the church. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org. Chris, what's next from the New Apostolic Reformation on this heretical Christology?
So we're going to head down to Australia and listen to Australian Apostolic leader Daniel Zelli of Glory City Church in Brisbane. He's going to lay out then the he's going to reiterate this Christology and its implications for how we are supposed to, as Christians, perform miracles.
So we've learned this morning that how you see yourself is so important. And most people limit themselves in the area of faith and in the area of healing and being all that God has called them to be, because they say, Jesus can do that, but I can't. And it be shown through Scripture, through the five stories that we went through this morning, that in fact, Jesus said, you heal the people, you feed the people, you have faith in God that God can do something. You have faith in me that I can do something. But I still call you faithless because you don't have the faith to believe that you can do something. And this is where we need to rise as the body of Christ. And there was a strong apostolic message that came through this morning. And so we need to rise in faith and understand who we are and our authority in Christ. And we need to stand up and be counted for all that God has called us to be and step out with the authority of God upon us. Amen. So we learned that this morning. And so what you see about yourself is so important. And so that idea that Jesus is different and that we can't operate like him, that belief that he was God and sort of like had an upper hand on things, disadvantages us because we put him into another category and say that, well, he's different to us. We can't do what he did.
All right, Chris, explain some of that for us.
So we're going to note that his thesis statement was that we as human beings, as Christians, limit ourselves by seeing ourselves as different than Jesus. And he mentioned Jesus' divinity as the sticking point as to how we would see ourselves as different than Jesus. I can honestly, truly say that there has never been a moment in my life where anybody could say of me, you know, Roseboro, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. You know, and the universe is much safer because of this fact. So, yeah, Jesus is different than us. And at the same time, by virtue of the hypostatic union, he is also the same as us. And so this is stuff that the early Christian church hammered out, and literally people confessed what Scripture said and died for those confessions. That the early Christological battles within the Christian church are important, and the church fathers hammered these things out with precision. And the NAR basically is banking on the fact that none of these people know their Bibles and will not access any of the debates that occurred in church history. They'll never read Athanasius. They'll never read Gregory of Nazianzus or any of the church fathers on these things, and just believe, well, oh, I've got to stop thinking of myself as different than Jesus. And so, the sticking point that Jesus is divine, well, that's the thing that he's going to, using theological sleight of hand, make disappear.
Okay, I guess what I'm curious here is, what good is Jesus' divinity in this theology? Do they believe that when Jesus, because they're talking about all his miracles, that when he died as a mere man? That would be tragic for our teaching of salvation. Do they believe that when he was suffering there under the punishment of God's wrath at the cross as our substitute, he was doing this as mere man, or that he rose again as mere man?
So the way it's told by C. Peter Wagner of the, he's deceased now, but the way he would tell it is that he claims that Jesus and God the Father made an agreement, a pact, that while Jesus was in a state of humiliation, he would make no access to his divine nature and do all of his miracles by the agency of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But there's no text that says that at all. And so you'll note then that, you know, take a look at Jesus' suffering on the cross. Can any human being pull that off? I would argue no, but we even have something a little bit better than that. And that is, again, coming back to this idea of the genus maiestaticum, that because of the joining together in the one person who is Christ of the divine nature and the human nature, that there are benefits that are derived to the human nature that are, you know, that come from the divinity. You can see this clearly in, for instance, Acts chapter 20, where Paul says this very fascinating statement. He says to the church of Ephesus, he says, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So he's talking to the pastors of the congregations in Ephesus. And to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And so you're going to note here that the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse 28, makes it clear that God himself obtained the church through his own blood, which is referencing Jesus' vicarious sufferings on the cross, which means that Jesus suffered as the God-man. There's no way around it. The text is very clear because human blood does not have the ability in and of itself to somehow atone for us. And so by virtue of the fact that that blood was united in the one person, you know, Jesus Christ, and united with the divine nature, now Jesus's blood has characteristics and is capable of doing stuff that normal human blood cannot do. And so that, just that verse alone, shows that Jesus it was miraculous that Jesus suffered for us on the cross and was able to secure our salvation.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about the New Apostolic Reformation's canonic Christology. We'll hear one more example of it on the other side of the break. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the daily internet talk show, Fighting for the Faith.
We start to provide caring responses for transgender children in the public square. Find our public voice.
Dr. Beverly Yonke speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Christians need to be seen, be heard, be well read, bear witness to the truth, and define in godly language what it means to flourish as a boy and a girl, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. That's a challenge, dear people, to be informed, to be unapologetic about stopping the abuse of children, to speak the truth without sacrificing love, to teach our children, to equip our schools, to gather resources, to strengthen our families, and to glorify God in the task that He's set before us.
You can listen to Dr. Yonke's presentation, Making the Case for the Church's Response to the Transgender Child, on a recording of our 2018 conferences. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you in the market for a home, car, or student loan? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During November, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Christian Friends of New Americans. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church, LutheranFCU.org.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards, emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about the New Apostolic Reformation's canonic Christology. You have one more example for us here. What is it?
We're going to hear a little bit more from Daniel Zelli, and he's going to build off of what we heard in the previous soundbite. And just consider the implications and really the kind of heavy burden now that he's putting on people with this idea that we've got to consider ourselves the same as Jesus so that we can perform miracles like he did.
Now, before you all start to hyperventilate and think I'm preaching that we're all gods and things like that, settle down, everything's cool. Let me explain the theology about that. Was he God? Absolutely. Did he deny his godliness? Meaning, did he reserve or put aside his godliness? Yes, absolutely. Philippians chapter 2. And so he walked the earth and operated on the earth as a man. Even though he had access to his divinity, he could have at any time called his divinity, but he chose to demonstrate to us what it meant to come as a man and live as a man submitted to God in communion with the Holy Spirit. And he showed us how that operated. So therefore it says that he humbled himself and came as a servant, as a man, and therefore God has highly exalted him because he's demonstrated to us how, as a man, you can live this world full of the Holy Spirit and do everything that he did as a man full of the Holy Spirit.
So if he seems to be doing a lot of qualification there, Chris. Mm,
yeah.
How does it actually shake out in the end despite all of his asterisks?
Despite all of his asterisks, it still pans out as Jesus laid aside his divine nature, which he is not capable of doing, nor does any scripture say that he did that. And you'll note there was a very subtle but very deadly twisting of Philippians 2 there. If somebody wanted to go back and re-listen to the soundbite, Daniel Zelli literally said that God exalted Jesus because he humbled himself, talking about humbled himself by doing miracles by virtue of the Holy Spirit. But it says in the text that God exalted him because he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so he left that part out and made it sound like Philippians 2 was saying that God exalted Jesus because he humbled himself by setting the ultimate example for us of what can be accomplished as a charismatic, spirit-filled believer. And that twisting actually makes a difference. And so I'm sorry, but there was no way that Jesus laid aside his divinity. He couldn't have done it if he tried.
For every heresy, there's a reason for it. This is not born of ignorance, because these teachers know full well what the actual teaching is. I think most of them probably do, and they have rejected it. What is behind this? What is the goal, or what do they hope to accomplish, these teachers, by presenting, as you said earlier, this Christ who is nowhere in Scripture, this Christ that is not the Christ of Holy Scripture?
So, yeah, let's be blunt. You know, men like Bill Johnson and Daniel Zelli are putting forward the public pretense that they themselves are operating in miracles the same as Jesus did and even greater than Jesus accomplished. And so the whole purpose is to make it look like they've discovered that this is the thing that's impeding people from performing signs and wonders. I'm performing these signs and wonders like Jesus did now, and you can too. Just buy my books and, you know, send me a seed offering and financially support our ministry. It becomes basically, they become the guru for, and you have to pay them dearly. They become the guru on how you can operate in the miraculous powers that Jesus operated in, because they are the ones who are putting themselves forward as the ones who have figured it out.
So one of their followers, with about a minute or so here, one of their followers' mother gets cancer. And they go and they say, I'm going to do what Bill Johnson, I'm going to do what Zelli told me I could do. I'm going to operate in the Holy Spirit and speak faith into this situation, but mom still dies. Where is that particular follower of the New Apostolic Reformation left with about 30 seconds?
They're left without their loved one, number two. They're left with severe doubts regarding the Christian faith, and they're left with a lot of guilt. And oftentimes when people who are lamenting or mourning losses like that, which happen all the time, at the same rate as the same percentages within the general population, it happens at these other churches as well. So when these things happen, you know, they will oftentimes go to a Bill Johnson or a Daniel Zelli and say, why wasn't this person healed? And funny enough, a lot of leaders within the New Apostolic Reformation will say, you didn't have enough faith, or you truly didn't believe strong enough that you can operate in the same miracles that Jesus did. So the fault lies with you. And that's always where the rubber meets the road. And I cannot even begin to tell you how many stories I have heard from people who've come out of the NAR who've had those types of stories, and how many of them have said that they were ready to walk away from Christianity at that point.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about 5 minutes at piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
We recently sent out surveys to attendees of our fall 2018 Making the Case conferences. We are getting a lot of positive feedback on Chris Rosebro's teaching, Making the Case for infant baptism. You can hear it on a recording of both of our conferences this year. We'll send you an audio DVD or a thumb drive for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300 to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. It's almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching from our 2018 Making the Case conferences. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the season of Advent. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest, and we're going to get a review of the movie Fantastic Beasts 2 with Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.